So let me ask you this. What does development truly mean? I mean, beyond just economic growth or new technology, is it really just about GDP figures, or is there maybe a deeper, more, well, holistic vision for how humans can flourish? Today, we're embarking on a deep dive into a really profound document, one that challenges us to think quite differently about progress, about social action. We're exploring Pope Benedict XVI's 2009 encyclical, Caritas in Verite. That translates to charity and truth. And our mission here is to unpack how this, frankly, complex and rich text didn't just reaffirm the foundations of Catholic social teaching, CST, as it's often called, but also charted a new, pretty bold course for understanding what it means for humanity to genuinely thrive. We'll look at the specific issues it touches on contemporary issues, but also Benedict's much broader vision. It's deeply integrated. At its heart, right, this document grounds the whole idea of social action in the theological virtue of charity. Now, that's not just being nice or, giving to charity in the everyday sense. In theological terms, it's deeper.
It's a God-given capacity to love, a participation in God's own life. As Benedict himself puts it, charity is at the heart of the church's social doctrine. And this idea, love and truth, connects love and truth as, well, completely inseparable. It echoes the Christian idea that they're united in Christ. So this deep dive, it's kind of a shortcut for you to understanding this pivotal document. We think you'll find some surprising connections and insights that really endure. Caritas in Verite really marks a significant moment, wouldn't you say? Sort of new direction for Catholic social teaching.
Oh, absolutely. It's notable how it broke from that traditional anniversary cycle, like Rerum Novarum back in 1891.
Right.
Instead, Benedict deliberately placed himself in the lineage of Pope St. Paul VI's Populorum Progressio.
From 67.
Exactly. And Pope St. John Paul II's Solicitudo Rei Socialis from 87, especially on that theme of the development of peoples.
And he paid quite a tribute to Paul VI, didn't he? Calling Populorum Progressio the Rerum Novarum of the present age. That's strong.
It is strong. It shows deep respect for that foundation.
Okay, so let's unpack this a bit. If he's building on their work, what's the unique stamp Benedict puts on it? How does he, transform that lineage? What makes Caritas in Verite distinct?
Well, that's what's fascinating. While he clearly aligns himself with them, Caritas in Verite isn't just an update. It introduces a really distinct theological framework.
Yeah.
It's grounded in this idea that truth is the light that gives meaning and value to charity. That light is both the light of reason and the light of faith. So this encyclical profoundly fuses the concept of development with a much more explicit theological and anthropological lens. It brings moral and spiritual dimensions right into the center of how we address social challenges.
So less purely structural or economic, more about the human person and their relationship with God.
Precisely. Benedict's emphasis is that the deepest roots of underdevelopment aren't primarily material. He says they're moral and spiritual. He states they are found, first of all, in the will, which often neglects the duties of solidarity. Second, in thinking, which does not always give proper direction to the will.
That's a major challenge to purely secular approaches, isn't it?
It really is. It fundamentally questions the idea that societal good can be achieved just through economics or policy alone. It means true development isn't just about economic progress. It's about the holistic flourishing of the human person, every dimension. And then he applies this big vision to a whole range of current issues.
That's a powerful shift, yeah.
Yeah.
Rooting development in something much deeper. And this vision, it seems to crystallize into about five core themes that kind of reshape how we think about social action.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Let's dig into each of these five things. First up, Benedict insists that faith is the foundation of CST and demands personal conversion. So if authentic Catholic social action must be rooted in charity in that theological sense and requires personal conversion, what does that actually change? How does that shift things on the ground?
It shifts things fundamentally. It moves Catholic social teaching from maybe focusing just on charitable acts, good deeds, which are important, to requiring that social action itself be based on belief, on integrating God into all aspects of life and development.
Right.
Benedict is crystal clear on this. He says, adhering to the values of Christianity is not merely useful, but essential for building a good society and for true integral human development.
Not just useful, but essential. Exactly. And he gives a pretty stark warning, too. Without him, God, development is either denied or entrusted exclusively to man, who falls into the trap of thinking he can bring about his own salvation and ends up promoting a dehumanized form of development.
Wow. Dehumanized development. That's quite a statement.
It is. He's saying that without that spiritual compass, without God, all our efforts at progress, they risk becoming directionless, maybe even harmful, dehumanizing. He stresses that real social action needs attention to spiritual life. Trust in God, love, forgiveness, even self-denial.
And there's that other quote too, isn't there? About not knowing who we are without God.
Yes, very direct. Without God, man neither knows which way to go nor even understands who he is. It links self-understanding directly to God.
So he's drawing this incredibly direct line between our inner spiritual state and, well, global development. It's like saying the foundations have to be right. Which leads us nicely to the second theme, integral human development. That phrase itself, integral, sounds so comprehensive. What does he really mean by that? What does it cover?
It means development has to embrace all dimensions of the person. So economic, yes, but also political, cultural, and spiritual, not just material progress.
Not just fixing poverty, but addressing the whole person.
Exactly. Benedict says authentic human development concerns the whole of the person in every single dimension. He explicitly links spiritual growth with material advancement. They aren't separate tracks. You know, he even diagnosed the roots of the global economic crisis back then as stemming from a self-centered and materialistic way of thinking. He argued that purely economic or technological fixes just aren't enough.
Because the problem is deeper.
Yes. As he put it in a homily around that time, man needs to be liberated from material oppressions, but more profoundly, he must be saved from the evils that afflict the spirit. It's about who you're becoming, not just what you have.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's not just abstract theology. He connects this integral vision directly to how individual Catholics should live and act. Which brings us to theme three. Catholic social action is a requirement of lay spirituality. So is this social action stuff optional for Catholics? You know, a nice thing to do if you have time? Or is it presented as something more fundamental?
Oh, it's presented as absolutely fundamental, a core part of being a disciple in the world, not an optional extra. Benedict says, every Christian is called to practice this charity, this love in action, in a manner corresponding to his vocation and according to the degree of influence he wields in the polis.
In the polis, so in public life.
Yes, in public life, in society. And Cardinal Cordes, commenting on the encyclical back then, said something like, the time for the church to be silent about her specific foundation is over.
Right, no more hiding it under a bushel, so to speak.
Exactly. It's a clear call for Catholics to live their faith actively, out in the public square, working for the good of everyone. He calls this engagement in social and political life an exacting and indispensable form of charity.
Indispensable. So, your faith isn't just for Sunday morning. It has to shape how you engage with the world's problems every day.
That's the message, yes.
Okay, that clarifies the personal responsibility. Now, theme four gets into an area often seen as separate. Issues of life are fully integrated into CST. How does Caritas in Veritate connect things like bioethics, you know, life issues, with those broader social concerns like poverty or economic justice? How does he weave them together?
He does it very intentionally, building on John Paul II, but perhaps going even further and integrating them. He makes this unique contribution. He states very clearly, respect for life cannot in any way be detached from questions concerning the development of peoples. Openness to life is at the center of true development.
So respect for life isn't just one issue among many, but central to the whole project of development.
Exactly. And then he says something really profound. The social question has become a radically anthropological question.
Anthropological. Meaning about who we understand the human person to be.
Precisely. He's saying that our fundamental understanding of human nature and dignity is now the core issue underlying all social challenges, whether it's economics or bioethics. They stem from the same root understanding of the human person.
And he links this directly to societal energy or motivation.
Yes. That's a unique warning he gives. When a society moves toward the denial or suppression of life, it ends up no longer finding the necessary motivation and energy to strive for man's true good.
Wow. So undermining life at any stage actually weakens the whole society's ability to pursue any good.
That's his argument. It's not just about the specific act, but about what it does to the moral fabric and energy of a society. If you devalue life when it's vulnerable, you lose the moral basis, the energy, to pursue development elsewhere. It's a really integrated view.
That's a powerful idea, and it'll be a challenging one for some who see these as separate spheres. But Benedict insists they're two sides of the same coin, rooted in anthropology. And finally, our fifth theme, the unity of solidarity and subsidiarity. Now, these two big principles in CST, solidarity and subsidiarity, they're often discussed separately. Sometimes they even seem like they're in tension, right?
They often are presented that way, yes. As if you have to choose between big government help and local initiative.
So what does Benedict say? How does he handle this apparent tension?
He brings, I think, really crucial clarity here. He insists they are mutually dependent. They must remain closely linked, he says. They aren't in opposition at all.
And why is that unity so important, according to him?
Well, he explains it very practically. Subsidiarity without solidarity, he says, slides into social privatism. Basically, everyone just looks out for their own small group, forgetting the bigger picture, the common good.
Okay, like localism gone wrong.
Right. But then, solidarity without subsidiarity becomes paternalist social assistance that is demeaning to those in need.
So that's where big top-down programs can stifle people's agency and dignity.
Exactly. So you need both. They both come from human dignity. He also clarifies that subsidiarity isn't just about efficiency. It's an expression of inalienable human freedom. Mm-hmm. It recognizes that people are capable of contributing, of giving something to others. It recognizes, as he puts it, reciprocity as the heart of what it is to be a human being. Mm-hmm. It's about enabling participation, not just receiving aid.
That really reframes subsidiarity, not just as pushing decisions down, but as enabling freedom and reciprocal relationships.
Mm-hmm. It gives it a much richer anthropological meaning.
So putting it all together, what does this all mean? It's clear Caritas in Verite deeply honors the legacy of Catholic social teaching, but it also, well, propels it forward, doesn't it? By digging down into these deeper theological and anthropological roots. It's a dense read, no doubt, but incredibly rewarding. So let's think about its legacy. How has this vision been carried forward? What's its lasting impact, even if maybe it's not quoted quite as often as, say, Rerum Novarum or Laudato Si's?
That's a good question. You definitely see its vision finding powerful expression in some later initiatives. Pope Francis's Economy of Francesco initiative from 2020 comes to mind.
Ah, the one with young economists and entrepreneurs.
Yes. Bringing them together to try and forge an economy of the gospel rooted in care, inclusion, human dignity that really embodies Benedict's call for development grounded in charity and truth. In integral human flourishing.
So the spirit is alive, even if the name isn't always cited.
Exactly. Now, it's true, Caritas in Verite itself maybe gets fewer direct citations than some others. Some analysts point to its theological density. Or maybe the challenge of translating this deeply faith-integrated vision into more secular policy discussions.
Doesn't fit neatly into political boxes, perhaps.
Perhaps not, but I think its long-term contribution is actually becoming clearer now, especially when you look at Pope Francis's teachings. Think about integral ecology in Laudato Si. That directly echoes Benedict's insistence here in Caritas in Verite that the book of nature is one and indivisible, linking human life and the environment.
Right. That connection is strong.
And Fratelli Tutti, Francis's encyclical on fraternity and social friendship, significantly develops Caritas in Verite's call for a global solidarity that has to be grounded in truth and love. He builds right on that foundation.
So maybe its influence is more foundational, shaping the subsequent trajectory of CST, even if not always explicitly named.
I think that's a fair way to put it. Its core ideas are very much alive and continue to shape Catholic thought on social issues.
Okay, great. Let's try and recap the key takeaways then from our deep dive into Caritas in Verite. First, it really anchors Catholic social teaching fundamentally in charity, this idea of love in truth. Seeing it as the absolutely essential foundation for any authentic human progress.
Mm-hmm. Second, it insists on development that is truly integral. It has to embrace the whole person, body, mind, soul, and it emphasizes that this is tied directly to spiritual growth. They can't be separated.
Third, and this is crucial, it makes social action a non-negotiable requirement for lay Catholics.
Mm.
It's part of their spirituality, calling every Christian to live their faith actively out in the world in the public square.
Right. Fourth, it firmly integrates those life issues with the broader concerns of social justice. It highlights that respect for life from conception to natural end is actually central to true development. It sees the social question now as fundamentally anthropological.
Understanding who we are. And finally, fifth, it brings real clarity to the unity of solidarity and subsidiarity.
Mm-hmm.
It shows how both are essential. They depend on each other, they flow from human dignity, and they have to be linked. Not separate, not competing.
Exactly. They work together.
So this whole deep dive into Caritas in Verite, it really reminds us that true progress isn't just about policies or economics, is it? It's about something much deeper, the core of who we are, what we believe, and how we love. As Benedict puts it right at the end, development needs Christians with their arms raised toward God in prayer. Which leaves us and you with a question to think about. How might embracing this idea that love and truth is the ultimate guide, how might that shift your own understanding, your own approach to the challenges in society, whether that's in your personal life or maybe in the broader public square. What could it look like practically to live out these principles? Charity, integral development, solidarity, and subsidiarity working together in your own sphere of influence. Something to consider.